You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Now, faith is one of the values of our church. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he is saying. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You know, this verse, it talks about the crowd of witnesses. You know, there are people of faith standing with us, cheering us on every step of the way. You know, heroes of faith from the Bible, from Hebrews chapter 11, and some of the heroes that we're talking about through the Big Faith series, as well as our church community. You know, standing together, cheering each other on in faith. You know, what I find encouraging is that those people, that those heroes that we're talking about and those found in Hebrews 11, that they had to walk through what we have to walk through. You know, they can relate to our struggles. You know, that verse in Hebrews 12 says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. You know, this speaks to the fact that it isn't always easy. You know, these people we hear about in the Bible, you know, they went through what we had to. We do as well. They went through hardship. It wasn't all smooth sailing. And I find encouragement in that. You know, this is encouraging because it speaks to the fact that we're all on a journey. You know, we're all works in progress. You know, the key factor in each of the lives of the people that we're talking about is that they were committed to the journey, a journey of faith, you know, walking to what God had for them. And we do the same. We walk towards what God has for us. You know, throughout the Big Faith series, we've been spending time looking at some of the heroes of faith that we see in the Bible. And this morning we're looking at Elisha, some of the faith moments that Elisha had on his journey and what that speaks to us today in 2018. So who is Elisha, you might ask? Well, before we can get to Elisha, we need to learn who Elijah is. So Elijah is a prophet, and God performed many miracles through Elijah. You know, he saw people resurrected. You know, Elijah, through God's power, brought down fire from the sky. And Elijah's important to the extent that when Jesus ascended into heaven at the transfiguration, Elijah and Moses came down from the sky and met with Jesus on his way up. So it's important that we note that Elijah was powerful. He moved with big faith. So we first hear about Elisha when in this command given from God to Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, it says, then the Lord told him, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat. And continuing in verse 19, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. So what is it that we see here? Now, here's Elisha. He's working the field. He's plowing the field. And you could say that he didn't have a very glamorous view. You know, when you're plowing the field, you're behind a team of oxen. I'm sure you smell some things that probably aren't very pleasant. And maybe to an extent we can associate with Elisha. You know, where we are at the moment may not feel glamorous. You know, there might be a smell. And we may feel like we have so much more potential than where we are right now. You know, for Elisha, it might have felt like nobody was watching him and that he wasn't important, that he had no influence. But God had something in store for Elisha, And God has something in store for each of us today. You know, God saw Elisha in the field. God saw Elisha in the isolation. You know, Elisha was one of 12 teams running oxen in the field. You know, that doesn't sound very important. You know, he's just part of the team. But the truth is that he was important to God. You know, and as he was in the field, God saw his hard work. God saw his faithfulness. You know, God saw Elisha where he was, and he knew Elisha. You know, this is true for us today. You know, God's greatness is in you. You know, this is a truth. It might not feel like it, and our present circumstance may not point to this. You know, but we can take heart and we can have faith this morning that God sees us, that God knows us, and that God has good intention for us. You know, God's greatness is in you because his power is in us. You know, the Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within us. You know, we carry that same power that Jesus carried when he was on earth. You know, greatness, it isn't a destination. You know, often we look at something far off and we see it as a destination. We see it as a job, a title. But greatness is in the journey. You know, greatness isn't a destination. Greatness is in the journey. You know, your great deeds, walking out greatness, begin in faithful and consistent actions and deeds like Elisha. You know, this speaks to being faithful wherever you are. You know, for Elisha, that was in the field, being faithful with his work. For us, that is wherever we find ourselves. You know, being faithful wherever we find ourselves, whatever it is that we put our hand to, being faithful in that. You know, greatness is in the journey. Greatness is within you. And what you do day to day, greatness can pour out of you. Greatness is wherever you find yourself. You know, the word greatness, it means the quality of being great, eminence or distinction. I want to focus on the word distinction there. You know, collectively, all of us as the church, we're called to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to us. But each of us individually have a unique part and path to play out. You know, that greatness. You know, there's greatness in you. There's greatness in your journey. You know, we're distinct from each other and it needs to be that way. You know, it wouldn't be fun if we were just all lemmings following each other, jumping off the cliff because we didn't have a parachute. You know, in John chapter 14, starting from verse 12, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. You know, Jesus said that we would do greater works than even him. You know, this is a promise to us today. You know, do you believe that God can do great things through you? Because he wants to. You know, God's greatness is in you. You know, do you believe that God's hand is upon your life? You know, the Bible says that we were formed in our mother's womb. It says that God counts the hairs on our head. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are the product of his hand, heaven's poetry etched on lives, created in the anointed Jesus to accomplish the good works God arranged long ago. You know, God sees each of us and he's placed greatness in us. You know, greatness in where we are, in the big and the small. You know, greatness doesn't talk about the size or the amplitude. It talks about the faithfulness. You know, we're not talking about levels of result. We're talking about our obedience and our faithfulness. You know, we are obedient to God, we're faithful to God, and God brings the result. You know, I want to encourage you this morning that you're not held accountable for the result. You know, what we do is we're obedient to God, what he tells us to do, where he directs us, and God handles the result. So when God called Elisha, how do we see him respond? You know, we make 35,000 decisions a day. You know, that's a lot of decisions. Some of them are simple, like pushing up my glasses just then. And some of them are more important, like, should I get married? You know, if I was to ask you to make a really hard decision really quickly, you might find it difficult. So, like, within 3 seconds, you have to decide you can only eat one item of food for the rest of your life. What is it? 3, 2, 1. Like, it's not easy. You know, the other split decision I'm sure a lot of us make regularly is you're driving your car towards a set of traffic lights and it goes orange and you have to decide, do I have time to stop or do I not have time to stop? Maybe you can relate to this. You think, I don't have time to stop, and you kind of approach it and you think, maybe I didn't. And then you have to convince yourself that you didn't. Maybe if you're like me. You know, we make split second decisions all the time. You know, Elisha had to make a split second decision. You know, Elijah placed his cloak on Elisha. And what that cloak is a sign of is the calling of God. You know, it was a sign that God was calling and directing Elisha to be a prophet. You know, that cloak distinguished Elijah and then Elisha as called from God as a prophet. But for us, it doesn't look like a physical cloak. You know, we all carry Jesus. You know, we had a series earlier this year, a Carriers series. You know, we learned about some of the things that we carry. You know, we've all inherited power from God. You know, power, love, and of a sound mind. You know, it rests upon each of us. But we have a choice what we do with this. You know, whether we walk out in that or whether we allow it to remain dormant. You know, specifically for each of us this morning, God has revealed promises to us. You know, God reveals direction to us, but they're not supposed to just remain desires. They're not supposed to just remain promises. The question is, how do we respond to them? You know, God doesn't give you a desire as a mistake. You know, it's not just to keep your mind occupied while you're here on earth. You know, it's for us to respond to, for us to do something about, that we would initiate that journey of walking towards it. So how is it that we see Elisha respond? You know, he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't ask if he's qualified. He doesn't ask if he's ready. He doesn't question if God has chosen the right person. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. He responds with big faith. You know, the verse even said that he ran. You know, that speaks to me of passion. You know, when God called Elisha, he responded with passion. He didn't hesitate. He responded with emphasis and with faith, not with doubt. So a question for us this morning, when God interrupts you, how do you respond? You know, when you're going along in your life and God asks you a question, he points you in a direction, what do you do? You know, personal example of this for me is I'm in year 10 at high school. I remember saying to one of my friends at recess, if my parents came to me and they said, we're moving, that would ruin my life. Like, that's what I said to one of my friends. And I kid you not, 2 weeks later, my parents sit us down at the table, like, exciting news. I assumed mum was pregnant, but it was much worse than that. You know, we were moving, and, you know, I felt planted in Mildura. I had my life planned out. You know, I had ideas, but God interrupted me, and I had a choice to how I responded to that. I could have been angry, but I chose to seek him. You know, the same thing happened when our family did move to Kyabram. You know, I ended up marrying Emily, my wonderful wife, and she needed to go to university. So God called us to Geelong. You know, again, I was comfortable in Kyabram. You know, I could have lived there my whole life. It could have been easy, but it wasn't what God had for me. He interrupted me where I was, and we had to take a step out in faith. You know, maybe another example is that you're mid-conversation and God redirects the conversation. How do we respond to that? You know, in all of these moments, I thought that everything was perfect. I was comfortable. I had my plans. But God had more for me. You know, he had a new season. He had a bigger dream, more growth for me personally. You know, for you, it could be a new job. It could be asking for a promotion. It could be serving in a team or a new team in church. It could be joining a connect group. It could be inviting a family member to church. It could be catching up with an old friend. The list goes on. You know, God will interrupt us where we are with a new direction. Now, each of these moments in my life have caused me to grow in faith. And I come out the other side trusting him more. And you know, although at the time I couldn't see what the end result was, I couldn't see where I would end up, I walked out obedience and the steps were revealed along the way. And the truth is, in all of these stories, God's hand was upon me. You know, when we moved to Geelong, or since we've moved for Geelong, neither myself or Emily have been out of work. You know, to be honest, in this point in time, I haven't even had to sit a job interview. Like, they've just, God's blessed us with that. You know, Emily in university, God blessed and his hand was upon her. She excelled in university and now is working in a great school. You know, God's hand has been upon us in the journey through our obedience. When God interrupts you, he has a bigger plan for you. You know, God doesn't just interrupt us to put us out, to make us angry or to annoy us. He interrupts us because it's time to move into greater things. You know, the next step in our journey, the next piece of the puzzle. You know, from the time of salvation, we all begin a journey. But sometimes we get stuck along the way. You know, sometimes we can become idle and we need prompting. You know, doubt can creep in. You could have an extenuating circumstance. You could be sickness. It could be discouragement from others. You know, one thing I've learned is that the enemy, he can twist the voice of others to sow seeds of self-doubt into you. You know, the enemy can use the words of the people that you trust. You know, it's important that when we hear things spoken over our lives that, you know, we see if they line up with the word of God. You know, the enemy can twist the words of even the people that you love, the people around you. You know, all of these things, they don't negate God's promises for our lives. You know, and I love that our God is a God of grace, because through grace, we can continue the journey, we can pick up where we left off, and we can walk forwards. You know, I believe sometimes we can become discouraged because it may feel like God isn't doing anything. Like, where are you, God? You've given me this desire, but I'm not seeing anything happen. But maybe we're not looking in the right place. You know, an example from Elisha's life in 2 Kings chapter 3. Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother you with except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play the harp." While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will neither see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals." You know, God doesn't always bring the result in the way that we think. You know, if you needed water and you prayed to God, you'd probably expect rain. You'd probably expect wind. But there was no rain. There was no wind. You know, it didn't seem possible. But sometimes we're looking for the results in the wrong place. You know, we can get discouraged because it looks like God isn't moving. But when what we see doesn't line up with the truth of his word, that is when we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we put our trust in his promise and his word and not what we feel or see or assume. You know, God doesn't always bring the results in the way that we expect. So sometimes we get stuck. You know, we can get stuck on our journey. And sometimes what we need is a push, a prompting. You know, in Elisha's case, God sent Elijah. And you know, God loves to work through people. God loves to speak through people. So who in your life encourages you forward when you get stuck? Who do you have around you? You know, our connect groups. where our church is made smaller in community with each other. They keep us on a forward trajectory. You know, they give us an environment where we can share and celebrate our wins with each other, but we also have people to walk alongside of through the challenge. You know, these people in our connect groups, these people around us, they can give us a push when we get stuck, you know, in a loving, encouraging way. You know, in Elisha's story, he goes on to perform miracles, raise people from the dead. He turned poison stew into good stew, multiplied oil, as we heard a couple of weeks ago. You know, he performed miracles. But had Elisha ignored when God interrupted him, you know, he wouldn't have stepped into what God had for him. And, you know, all these people wouldn't have benefited from his ministry and what God did through him. Now, God doesn't use those who are ready. God uses those who are faithful. You know, Elisha wasn't ready. You know, he had preparation and he had equipping to do. When Elijah came along and threw his cloak on him, Elisha didn't have it all together. You know, he hadn't been to prophet school. He was just out there working in the field. He was plowing the field. But what he was faithful. You know, for us, we're all on a journey of becoming more like Christ. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." The truth is that we are never ready. You know, we are never ready for what God is asking us to step into, but we are appointed for it. You know, when God puts his hand upon you, when he interrupts you, when he directs you, and when we do step out in obedience, he doesn't leave us alone. Now, he doesn't leave us to do it by ourselves, but he strengthens us along the journey. You know, God will empower you along the journey. You know, because it isn't in our own strength. You know, that verse said, "Whatever you ask for using my name." You know, it's God's strength. It's not our greatness. Remember, it's God's greatness that is in you. It's not our greatness. And for Elisha, when God interrupted him, he had to leave some things behind. You know, faith, it requires us to move. Elisha couldn't stay where he was. You know, Elisha couldn't step into the direction that God had for him by continuing to plow the field. He had to leave where he was and begin the journey. Now, James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." You know, faith requires action. You know, this morning, this isn't just speaking about a physical movement. And like, amen, God doesn't want us all to uproot ourselves and move town. Go do something else. But sometimes we can continue circling in disappointment, continue circling in discouragement. But we need to begin a journey of restoration through these things with the Holy Spirit. You know, our faith, it requires action. You know, we may need to leave some things behind, discouragement, doubt. We need to take action, walk towards healing and restoration. You know, sometimes we get to this place where we say we're waiting on God. You know, we're waiting on for God to remove the doubt in our lives, but the truth is that he's waiting on us. You know, God doesn't want you to carry doubt. He doesn't want you to carry discouragement. And as we step out, you know, those things will fall off. Faith requires action. You know, in Elisha's story, we see that he went as far as burning what he had so that he couldn't return to it. You know, what that speaks to us today is, you know, what safeguards do we need to put in place to ensure we don't end up where we are today? You know, that we don't end up in the same place. You know, sometimes we can do the hokey pokey. You know, you put your left foot in, you put your left foot out. We take a step forward and we take a step back. But God's calling for each of us to continue walking forwards. You know, let's go all in. You know, what do we need to do to make sure that we don't take a step back? You know, Elisha, he sacrificed of himself to allow him to step into something new. He had to sacrifice of himself to step into something new. You know, for some of us, God has put desires in our hearts and we believe that he can do them. You know, we believe that God can do those things, but our faith requires action. You know, we can't just believe that God can do these things, but we need to start the journey of walking towards them. You know, faith requires us to step out. You know, we can't just wait for it to happen. These desires that God has given to us, we need to step out because we don't reach the destination without the journey. You know, when God puts a desire in your heart, we aren't often just one step away from the destination. You know, sometimes there are desires that seem an infinite distance away, but this is where faith comes in. You know, there is a journey between us and the destination. And greatness is in the journey. You know, sometimes we can be so focused on the end game that we miss what God is doing through us today. You know, for Elisha, from the moment that Elijah put his cloak on him and the time that he stepped into his own ministry, there were 7 to 8 years. 7 to 8 years of journeying as assistant to Elijah. You know, the Bible refers to Elisha washing the hands of Elijah. You know, you probably don't often wash someone else's hands. You know, that doesn't seem like something of greatness. But this time was an important time of preparation and equipping. You know, this time of journeying towards our destination is just as important as reaching the destination itself. You know, throughout this time for Elisha, God worked through the ministry of Elijah, and Elisha wasn't of no use during this time. You know, it was all part of God's plan. You know, the preparation, the equipping. Remember, Elisha didn't go to prophet school. So God used this time to prepare him for his ministry. How are you positioning yourself to grow along the journey? You know, Elisha positioned himself alongside Elijah and wouldn't leave his side. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. You know, this happened 2 more times. You know, Elisha committed himself to the journey. You know, he committed himself to standing by Elijah's side in preparation, in being equipped. Our heart's desire should be to remain committed in the journey. You know, not looking to the left or to the right, but continually allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. You know, our faith in God, quite often we line it up with performing miracles and seeing breakthrough. And those things are awesome. But with our faith, we need to be able to trust along the journey as well. We need to trust while we are growing. Trust that He has us and He's working in us. You know, I want to encourage you not to become disheartened in the journey. You know, when your desires seem so far off, you know, there would have been moments where Elisha wondered, is this it? You know, am I ever going to become a prophet? But we need to keep journeying and keep looking to the destination. Have faith and trust that God is in control. You know, we continue the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. It says, then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away. And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request, but if not, then you won't. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided and Elisha went across. You know, this morning, what do you have the faith to ask God for? What do you have the faith to ask God to do through you and in you? You know, are we asking for a double portion? You know, Elisha could have just asked, I want to be like you, Elijah. But he had the audacity to ask for a double portion. You know, do we have the faith to believe for more? You know, in contrast, towards the end of Elisha's life, he's in his last illness and King Jehoash comes to him. And Elisha tells him to get a bow and some arrows, to go put his hand on the bow and open the eastern window. Elisha told him to shoot, and he shot an arrow. And Elisha proclaimed that it was the arrow of the Lord's victory. Then Elisha told him to pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked up the arrows and he struck them against the ground three times. And Elisha says, "You should have struck them against the ground five or six times, because then you would have beaten the armies until they were entirely destroyed. But now you will only be victorious three times." You know, I think there's an important contrast between these two stories. You know, Elisha asked for a double portion, but then at the end of Elisha's life, the dream wasn't as big. The desire wasn't as big. You know, what are we willing to ask and believe of God to do in us? You know, what I ask of God needs to go beyond myself. You know, when what I ask of God goes beyond myself, that's when I step into faith. You know, does what you're believing for at the moment require you to take a step of faith? You know, does it go beyond what you can grasp in the natural? You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. You know, are you believing for something that you can't see? Are you believing for something that's out of grasp? You know, are we believing for something that we can grasp? Or are we asking God to move supernaturally upon something that we can't even wrap our head around yet? You know, where we have come from is good, but God has more for us. What we have seen before is good, but God has more for us. You know, Elisha had the faith to ask for something big, something that went beyond himself. This morning, God is asking each of us to lift our eyes, to believe with big faith, to ask for big desires, to ask God for God desires. You know, that we would step into the new in faith. You know, for each person here, God wants us to continue the journey, continue the path that He's laying out for us. You know, in faith, indeed, and in obedience. You know, God has put greatness in each of us. We can believe it in faith, and that's one thing, but we can also walk it in faith. We can walk towards the greatness that is in us. You know, what are you asking God to do through your life? Are you believing for Him to move powerfully through you? Because He wants to. You know, this morning it's time that we start to step out in faith, to leave where we are and to begin the journey or continue the journey. You know, this morning, let's respond with big faith. You know, I just want to pray quickly, if you just close your eyes. Lord God, I thank You for what You have placed in each of our lives, God. God, I thank You that we carry Your greatness, God. God, I pray that we would have the strength to continue to walk the journey strong, God. God, that we wouldn't falter to the left or to the right, God, but that we would fix our eyes upon what You have for us, God. God, that we would dream big, God, that we would have big desires, God. God, that You would light a fire in our hearts this morning, God.
just with your eyes closed still this morning. And it says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. You know, at the start of Pastor Bevan's message this morning, he said that God's greatness is found in you. And the truth of the matter, for God's greatness to be found in each and every single one of us, Jesus needs to be in you first. That's where the greatness comes from. When you confess and believe in Jesus, Jesus forgives you, brings you back into relationship with God. Then God's greatness can dwell in you and be with you always. I just want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus personally, if you haven't stepped into a personal relationship with him, if you haven't known his forgiveness, if you haven't surrendered in obedience and known his love personally, God wants to make that available to you today. That's why he sent Jesus. Just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, if that's you, I just want to invite you to lift your hand and say, yeah, I want that freedom. I want Jesus. I want the greatest to be found in me, Jesus. So anyone say, yeah, I need to do that. Put your hand up and put it back down. So anyone this morning, say, yeah, I want to step into that this morning. I want my faith journey to begin with stepping into that this morning. Is there anyone this morning? Just with our eyes closed this morning, for everyone in the room this morning, for everyone watching online, maybe you haven't put your hand up, but we want to pray a prayer as a church and invite everyone to pray with us, whether you're in this room or watching this morning. Pray a prayer of inviting Jesus and accepting his forgiveness and confessing that you believe in him. Why don't we do that this morning together? Lord Jesus, I come to you. And I thank you. I thank you for going to the cross. I thank you for rising again, for the forgiveness of my sins. I surrender to you. I repent of my sin. And I turn and follow you. All the days of my life, I choose to follow you. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that God, you sent Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Fantastic. I just want to invite you to stand this morning. The band's just going to lead us in a short song. But I just want to encourage you. Pastor Bevan's going to come back and pray for some people after we sing. Faith requires action. I'll say it one time. Faith requires action. And I just wanted to put it out there this morning. If there are things in your world that need to move, things in your world that need to shift, family members that need healing, restoration, relationships that need restoration, do your word disagree with what you see? You're looking at it and you're like, this is broken. This is broken. This relationship's broken. This thing won't move. Are your words disagreeing with what you see in the natural? Faith requires action. Let it start with what comes out of your mouth.